Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you for attending this final final morning of our 2008 APHA annual conference and for being here as opposed to enjoying the beautiful weather outside. My name is Leslie Wolf, and I'm a Science Applications International Corporation contractor for the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities. It's quite a mouthful. I want to make a small note in that this was supposed to be only data from 2006, but we ended up expanding the years that we analyzed to 2004 to 2006 to incorporate some of the smaller racial minority populations to get large enough sample sizes. The purpose of this presentation is to discuss racial and ethnic disparities in self-rated health and how these disparities are compounded by the presence of a disability. In a perfect world, we would like for all individuals to experience good or better health, regardless of race, ethnicity, disability, or any other personal characteristic. However, we all know, unfortunately, that health disparities exist and persist in our country. We chose to evaluate disparities in self-rated health, and specifically whether this perception differs by disability status. And this work was recently published in an MMWR at the beginning of October, and I want to acknowledge one of my co-authors in the audience, Brian Armour, who is sitting right there. First, I want to note that I have no financial relationships to disclose, and to say that this is my work and not the CDC's. I guess they're afraid I might be a loose cannon up here or something. First of all, what is self-rated health and why is it important? Self-rated health is an independent predictor of morbidity and mortality, and it captures the relationship between an individual's physical health and other personal characteristics. Specifically, it questions an individual's perceived state of health and not the presence or absence of a disease or illness. However, this characteristic has been shown to be valid and reliable, and for that reason, it is commonly used on health survey questionnaires. All things being equal, we would expect or hope for equality in health status across population groups. However, as I said earlier, and as you know, this is not the case, and these disparities exist in the United States. Health disparities can be difficult to define, but typically are considered to be persistent gaps in health status between populations, which can include inequities in healthcare access, resources, treatment, and outcomes. Major factors that contribute to health disparities include inadequate access to care. For example, under and uninsured populations are often diagnosed at later stages of disease because they cannot afford medical care and wait till the very last minute to seek treatment. In addition, certain populations receive substandard health care and are less likely to receive adequate diagnostic procedures, treatments, and medications. So what impact does this have? Basically, the reduction in preventive health care that these populations receive spirals, and these vulnerable populations therefore are more likely to experience higher incidence of chronic disease, leading to poorer health outcomes and higher mortality rates. Often we think of racial and ethnic minorities as these vulnerable groups, but other populations are equally vulnerable, including the elderly, those with disabilities, the impoverished, immigrants, and the uninsured. But for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to focus primarily on health disparities by race, ethnicity, and disability status. Racial and ethnic populations are increasing in the United States. In 2007, over 100 million Americans, or 1 in 3 U.S. residents, were a racial or ethnic minority. In recent years, Hispanics have accounted for almost one half of the national population growth in the United States. And by 2042, minorities are expected to become a majority, and by 2050, they will comprise 54% of the United States population. Racial and ethnic minorities typically experience poor health outcomes. Because of advances in medicine, life expectancy has increased over the past 25 years for all racial groups. However, in terms of active life expectancy, or the average number of years lived without a disease or disability, disparities persist between racial and ethnic groups. In other words, people are living with a chronic disease or condition that may not necessarily decrease their lifespan, but the quality of their life is significantly reduced. racial and ethnic minorities are also more likely to experience chronic disease such as heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and certain types of cancer. Racial and ethnic minorities typically experience language barriers. They're unable to communicate with their provider or understand their prescriptions. They experience discrimination because of their race or ethnicity, and they also hold different cultural differences and are unfamiliar with the U.S. healthcare system and have a different appreciation towards traditional and conventional medicine as opposed to modern medicine. Because of our rapidly aging population, the number of adults with disabilities is expected to grow over the next few years as well. By 2030, all baby boomers will be 65 years or older, which will equate to 1 in 5 U.S. residents. Furthermore, by 2050, the number of adults who are 65 years or older will be almost 90 million. The population of our oldest old is also increasing, and by 2050, the number of adults 85 years and older will number almost 20 million. Research has shown that adults with disabilities are at higher risk for adverse health behaviors, such as smoking, physical activity, and are more likely to experience associated adverse health outcomes, such as obesity and cardiovascular disease. Adults with disabilities also frequently experience compromised health care and receive preventive health care at lower rates and receive substandard health care at higher rates than the general population. They also experience barriers to health care, such as accessibility issues and disrespect and insensitivity of their providers to their disability. So for our study, we used data from the 2004 to 2006 BRFSS survey data sets. During those 3 years, all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands participated, although Hawaii did not participate in 2004. We conducted a bivariate descriptive analysis using SAS Callable Sudan, and we age-adjusted the prevalence estimates using the 2000 U.S. standard population. Our definition of disability came from the two core BRFSS questions on disability and was consistent with the Healthy People 2010 definition of disability. Case respondents acknowledged that they had either an activity limitation from physical, mental, or emotional problems, or that they used some sort of special equipment because of a health problem. Self-rated health status was the participants' subjective opinion of their health as being excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor. We found approximately 20% of U.S. adults had a disability, which is consistent with many other estimates. We grouped racial and ethnic categories into white non-Hispanics, black non-Hispanics, Hispanics, Asians, Native Hawaiians or other Pacific Islanders, and Asian or American Indian and Alaska Native populations. The presence of disability was highest among the American Indian and Alaska Native populations, as you can see, nearly 30% reported disability, while Asians reported the lowest prevalence of disability at just about 12%. Here's a graph showing the self-rated health status by race, ethnicity, looking at excellent, very good health versus fair, poor health. Whites were the most likely to rate their health as excellent or very good, with nearly 60% of respondents claiming that their health was above average, and over one half of all Asian American and Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander respondents reported similarly. Only 1 in 3 Hispanics said that their health was excellent or very good, and approximately 30% of Hispanics also said that their health was fair or poor. So Hispanic health was pretty equally divided among the self-rated health categories. 20% of Black and Asian American Indian Alaska Native respondents rated their health as fair or poor. Looking at excellent and very good health status by race, ethnicity, and then by disability, you see that among all races, those without a disability were more likely to rate their health as excellent or very good compared with those with a disability. Again, excellent, very good health was most common among white and Asian respondents compared with Hispanic and black respondents, specifically those with disability. Looking at fair or poor health status by race, ethnicity, and disability, again, we see that adults with disability were more likely to rate their health as fair or poor within all racial and ethnic categories. And fair or poor health was most common among Hispanic, Black, American Indian, and Alaska Native adults with a disability. About 45 to 55% said that their health was fair or poor. In contrast, about one in four Hispanic adults without a disability experience fair or poor health, and less than 15% of adults without a disability and the other racial and ethnic groups reported similar health status. Some limitations to our study: it's BRFSS data, so it is all self-reported data. There's no verification of the respondent's disability or no objective opinion of their health status. The severity of disability is unknown in the data set, and we also have no information about the duration or permanence of the disability. The data are cross-sectional, therefore we can't assume any direction of causality between self-rated health and disability. And in this analysis, we did not adjust for anything other than age, so we did not adjust for any other potential covariates. That's a direction for future work. Brian and I have already discussed a logistic regression analysis that also looks at the interaction of these variables, considering that I have a feeling there's a lot of confounding and other things going on in the data. So in conclusion, we found that racial and ethnic minorities are more likely to rate their health as fair or poor. Fair or poor health is significantly more prevalent among adults with disabilities, and the fair or poor health among racial and ethnic minorities is exacerbated by the presence of a disability. This has significant policy implications in that interventions should seek to improve the health and well-being of racial and ethnic minorities, but should also include special consideration for those with disabilities within these populations. For those of you that were here earlier this week and heard Gwen Jones' presentations, she stated repeatedly that it's imperative to involve those with disabilities in intervention design and implementation, and this study has indicated that that is very, very true. And I thought I would wrap it up with a little cartoon where a doctor has evaluated that a patient's health is better than, or he's healthier than he actually looks. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them in any way I can. My contact information is there, leslie.a.wolf@saic.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla Reed.